You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I am one of the co-hosts of the Locked On Pacers podcast. And joining me on the other line is the other co-host of the Locked On Pacers podcast for our special Friday edition show. How are you doing, Mr. Tony East, the man with too many titles?
I'm doing well. Last show of 2017, Adam. Really exciting stuff here.
Yeah, so that's our first announcement, I guess, is that we will be coming back to you on January 2nd, but we will not be doing any more shows through the weekend. It will not be a show up on New Year's Day either. So sad Pacers fans out there, but not as sad as Victor Oladipo missing what's going to be his second straight game, first time missing two back-to-back games basically all in his Pacer career, in his short Pacer career. He missed one earlier in the year on a back-to-back against Boston. We thought it was precautionary. I thought it was precautionary for the Dallas game, kind of thinking, oh, he might have tweaked his knee in back-to-back. He wanted to give him some rest, but apparently it's more serious because he was ruled out for Friday's game early Wednesday, and they say basically he has swelling in his knee, and, you know, they're not really sure what to do with wait for the swelling to go down before he can, whether they know they can play on Sunday or not. So big news and bad news for the Pacers, right?
They ruled him out right after the Mavs game. Like the tweet came out that him, Sumner, and Glenn Robinson wouldn't play like at like 11 p.m. after the Mavs game. It was very bizarre how early they said it.
Yeah, and I imagine it's got to be just really bad swelling then, right? Yeah. Like, he didn't look terrible against the Pistons. I didn't know what he – you know, the Pistons, there was a lot of things that were wrong with the team, but it didn't seem like he was the issue. He looked fine out there.
Yeah, I didn't see anything that would make me think he had a knee injury either, so it's very shocking to hear, and I want him fully healthy before he comes back. So, I mean, I guess keep him out, but it just came out of nowhere, and it's really sad to see this happen because, like you heard me talk about in the Mavs recap last night, they really, really, really need him.
Yeah, if you probably hit on it, but basically – watching that game, I thought, oh, crap, they're tied and they don't have their closer. How are they going to win this game?
They missed 11 of their last 13 shots, I think, was what the Indy Star wrote. Bad.
But even just like they had to go to Lance to win the game, and that's Lance did what Lance did. It makes it turn over the ball with 30 seconds left and lost the game, basically.
Yeah. A lot of well, like they just don't have like the ISO play. Like if the play dies with Vic on the court, they just run a high spread pick and roll. With Vic out, when the play dies, they have nothing. And you can really see that at the end of the game.
He's really the only player on the team that can create his own shot. I mean, Turner should get there eventually, but he's still not there yet. You watch they try to get Turner a couple times to the ball on the picks, but pick and pops, but he got swallowed by the pick and roll player, and then Bojan can't get open by himself. He needs
I don't know if you noticed this. The Mavs did a zone a lot too, so that game was tough for anyone to really create their own shot.
Yeah, but it's when you watch them in general, though, I mean, Stevens like the only guy who creates his own shot, and he can, you know, it's hit or miss with the turn of the ball or not, or gets called for an offensive foul. Basically, what's going on with them? That's basically what happened. So they missed him a lot. We don't need to harp on it too much. Hopefully, he'll be back Sunday against the Timberwolves because I definitely need him in that win. We'll preview both those games later.
In this episode,
but he's the most important player. If he doesn't play, they have a shot against the Bulls still, but he's an important player. But another player who got called up, sort of, I guess he was sort of called being called up.
This is exciting news, actually.
Promoted? What would you call it? Promoted from a two-way.
Promoted because he got a $500,000 raise. Yes, I'll call it a promotion.
Right, because he basically got 1 year of guaranteed money. What just happened?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. So we haven't said it yet. It's Alex Poitras. So. He went out from a two – there's a lot of implications, and I want to run through the cap stuff, and then you can run through the stats and on-court stuff. But he had a two-way contract converted to a full contract, and he got guaranteed for this – he got a two-year deal that's guaranteed this season and non-guaranteed next season, but his guaranteed age July 25th. We'll get to that later. But so his salary and cap hit for the rest of this season is about $778,000 is how much he'll make and how much he counts against the Pacers cap. And then next year he's – fully guaranteed at $1.4 million if he's on the roster as of July 25th. So they have time in free agency to decide if they need him or not. And then the other thing is now his two-way slot's open now too, which is something that's not been talked about a lot today, is the Pacers could sign someone to a two-way very soon.
So there's a lot to unpack there. So first, his contract basically is a team option, so way after free agency. So basically it's like they'll be able to – they want to use his $1.4 million, whatever they need to be – paid, they can just not, they can use that. Like, that's fine. It's a great thing for the team, but it also, you know, it's a taking a risk. Basically, by guaranteeing the whole year, he'll be on the roster basically, and he'll probably get some minutes into the rotation because against Detroit, he played 22 minutes in most of his season because it was that first game back to back, and he looked pretty good. He is probably the best, you know, I would say, like, forward defender they have on the bench. I mean, Stevenson is not bad, but he's bigger than Stevenson. But he's probably the best one they have right now until Robinson comes back. He is sort of in that Robinson. He kind of has the same body type as Robinson, let's say. That's what I would say.
He's stronger than Robinson, but he's a worse shooter, so he's perfect for, like, a post-defense role.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly – he can kind of stretch between the guarding fours and fives. In Detroit, especially, he was the one that was basically – in the second quarter on, supposed to guard Tobias Harris and not let him score. And he did a pretty good job of that. So I think that's why he had a quote that he finally feels like he's an NBA player. So it must mean that he finally feels like he's up to strength of the NBA teams and conditioning wise. You know, it's not a bad, you know, Pacers had cap space, so bringing him in doesn't hurt them. They need a ninth guy in the rotation because Leaf is just not the answer. And I'm sure you have a nice take on Leaf. But so, you know, it makes sense. I think it makes sense, especially they must think Robinson's not that close either, is also, I would guess.
Yeah. Well, I have a few theories that before we get to Leaf stuff with this. First of all, you know, if they want to open a roster spot for 10 days or a buyout guy to make a push for the playoffs, now Wilkins is the guy they're going to waive. And it's very ironic that they just gave him an act of goodwill by doing the gender reveal at the game, because that seems like a nice, like, hey, we're going to gender reveal your baby in a really awkward and rushed way and then cut you kind of thing. But, you know, that could just be complete speculation. But, That could be tough for Wilkins. We'll see what happens there. And then the open two-way is something to monitor because, you know, like Gary Payton just got cut from his two-way deal, and there's always some good guys available who could step in and help right away as long as they have three or less years of total service. So it's really a way for them to add someone for free that could help them with Robinson out, even with Poitras on the roster. So, you know, there's a lot of pros to doing this in this manner.
But Wilkins also might get cut because Young is getting a lot more minutes and is kind of showing some signs of life finally too. So, because I'm sure Jefferson probably should get cut, but he won't.
He won't, no. But I agree, but he won't. Yeah, I don't know what's going to happen. That was all pure speculation. It's just very interesting to see how it all unfolded and the timing, because they only have 10 days to decide if they're going to keep Wilkins for the rest of the season or not.
Yeah, so that – I mean, he seemed like he's the odd man out, right? He's really not done
much. Totally is.
He sort of comes in and plays a few minutes or plays a garbage time, but he's the odd man out. Jefferson is just on this team, partially because he can mentor Miles Turner, partially because he's paid so much money, right?
Well, and the thing is,
there's no reason to not.
If you waive Al Jefferson, you can't trade him, right? So you're stuck with the money for sure, even if another team, like no team can screw up and help you out. So they won't do that. But my on-court take is that they guaranteed Poitras because he maybe, like, this isn't the future plan, but right now he fits better with the rest of the roster than Leaf does, and he's been playing better this year, so it makes more sense to give him the minutes off the bench at the four than Leaf, and now they have no reason not to because they're not wasting his 2A days.
Yeah, and he's a really – I don't say he's not a really good defender, but he's one of the better defenders on this team, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
He's got – always body type-wise, too. He matches up well against kind of stretch fours in a way even Thad Young doesn't, but just coming off the bench – he can be extremely valuable that because Leaf just can't play defense at this point. And I think what the Pacers decided is they need their bench to be a better defensive unit at times because they get killed in these games because they have enough scoring if they can find it off the bench between Sabonis, between Stevenson, between Joseph. But I think they're lacking that they were lacking with Leaf, that guy that could just come in and stop the best, you know, forward off the bench.
Yeah, I agree. And then hopefully he can fill that role pretty well. I know against the Nets, he was a positive. And then that Pistons game, he was the only positive on the whole team. So hopefully that's something that can continue.
Right in that Pistons game, he was like a plus 18, I want to say, top in my head.
Yeah, a 20-point loss.
Yeah, nobody else. I mean, that was a game where every starter was minus 17 or more. That was minus 34. I mean, yeah, that was a terrible game. But he was the only positive part of that game. We talked about it, too, when we talked about the Boston, how – oh, he looks like he maybe could actually play some significant minutes for this team. So imagine that means the Leafs going to spend a lot more time down in the Mad Ants too.
Which is just fine.
Yeah, no, he needs to. We talked about it. He needs to spend a lot of time down there bulking up, hitting the gym, working out. You know, Fort Wayne's a nice little place to just go hit the gym. Now, do there, just be in the gym 24/7. Because the Leaf, we talked about, has the pure offensive skills to be an NBA player, but doesn't have the size yet or the defensive ability.
Yeah, and I think he'll get there. He's still young, so we have plenty of time. I think the last thing we have to get to before before we get to the Bulls is the new jerseys. What do you think of them?
No, I looked at them the other day. I looked at all of them. I really liked some of the other teams' ones, but I'm not like hating the Pacers ones, put it that way. They're a little tacky in my opinion, but they're fine.
So I don't love the aesthetics of them per se, like the way the jersey itself looks, but I'm so glad it's actually Pacers theme and not farming theme. So I'm stoked that it's a racing jersey. That's cool.
So I actually would have liked it if it was like a black and gray instead of a
I agree. Green. When the original thing we saw, like the leak, was black. And I was like, that's awesome. And then it came out to be navy, but
I wonder if they just aren't allowed to use black and navy. You
know, yeah, maybe not.
Not their colors.
Maybe not.
But they use that hickory red, so I don't know. Yeah, the Pacers jerseys were fine. You know, I think they're better. Let's put it this way. I think they're better than the yellow ones.
Agreed. Not better,
but worse than the blue ones.
Yeah, they're my favorite of any jersey.
Really? I like the blue ones. I like just that look.
I don't know. I think there's a lot going on their jerseys just because we don't need to do this on a podcast. But, yeah, they have new jerseys, and they're really cool, and they're racing themed, so check them out.
Yeah. There's some really cool ones, actually.
They're
doing a nice job.
The Heat and the Bucks in particular, great job.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about the lineup changes, but we're not going to do that on this podcast. We're going to leave that as a tease for our podcast coming up on January 2nd because we're waiting for Victor Oladipo to return. But we are going to preview the upcoming games they have before the new year. Welcome back in the Locked On Pacers podcast. So we're going to preview first the Chicago game and then the Minnesota game. So, Tony, you got Chicago's league stats up with you right now?
Yeah, so Chicago, Pacers are 2-0 against them, so you might think they're bad, but on a tear recently, I'll let you handle some of that, but now they are up to 11th in pace, very fast, 16th in defense, and 30th in offense. So really, the compositions of a not terrible team.
Yeah, so since the Pacers last played them, when we saw that game where Victor Oladipo hit the three to seal the game about 30 seconds left, Pistons have won 9 of 11. So they've been on a tear. They're now at 12 wins. At one point, they were 4-20. So they've definitely been playing better recently. Part of that is probably due to the return of Nikolai Mirotic, who over the last 11 games since he returned, they're 9-2, and he's averaging about 17 points a game. Chris Dunn has been playing pretty well, averaging
very well,
15 points and 8 assists. And then, you know, Mirotic is shooting 50% from the field and 47% from threes. Close to those numbers, that's pretty impressive so far. And they've beat some good teams in this run. So they beat like Boston, who's a pretty good team. They lost to Cleveland by 3. They lost Boston again too, but they beat like Milwaukee. They beat New York twice. They beat Philly. You know, they beat good teams. Let's put it that way. So this is not some fluke per se. Because we thought after the Pacers game, we were like, oh, we were lucky to pull that one out. But maybe it was a better win than we thought because the Bulls were just better than we thought they were.
Yeah, they're rounding into form truly as a team. Like they're not boring to watch like they were the first time we played. And Mirotic has been a huge part of that. You know, like you said, 48% from three, 50% from the field, 17 points a game. And it's funny that him and Bobby Portis have been probably the team's best duo after their offseason scuffle. But yeah, Chris Dunn's really hitting his stride. He's shutting down whoever he's guarding. And yeah, you have his stats from the last 10 games. It's something crazy. He's dishing it out. He's scoring from everywhere. And, you know, Markkanen's still a beast. They have a lot of stretchy bigs. Denzel Valentine's hitting shots. He's over 40% from three for the year. They're looking like a competent team. So this game might not be so easy this time.
Yeah. They sort of turned around. I thought when we talked – I think when we last previewed them, I was like, this team is on a path to win 10, 12 games. And now they might not even be in the bottom three in the league anymore when it comes by mid-January. I mean, they're already the fifth worst team, up from the worst team to the fifth worst team in the Eastern Conference. And I mean, I don't see them, you know, falling off. They seem to have found some kind of formula to win games. Hoiberg is not doing a terrible job as we thought he was, so he might save his job too the way they're playing.
Yeah,
this team is—they're just not bad. You know, I thought they were terrible because they looked like they weren't trying, and since that Pacers game, they've been trying really hard.
Yeah, and it kind of scares me for this one because if it's the same team that they saw in Indiana plus Nikola Mirotic plus they're on the road now, that you know they could win. The Bulls could reasonably win this game.
Yeah, so the Pacers are going to Chicago this time because they played they split last time, but they're going to Chicago. It's obviously this Friday at 8, so just so everybody knows, it's this Friday. Who is your Pacers X factor? We already know Oladipo is not playing, so who's going to have to step up to win this game for the Pacers?
Yeah, he was the one who really was the X factor clearly in their last one, but I'm going to go with the guy.
Last game? What? He had 31 last game?
Yes. Yeah. But he didn't really turn it on until the fourth quarter. I'm going to go with the other guy who was kind of an X factor in that last one, which was Miles Turner. If you don't remember very well, they were down about 15, and Turner came in the fourth and ran high pick and roll with Oladipo every possession until they came back and won. And he played amazing defense that kept the Bulls off the scoreboard. And, you know, hopefully he can do that again in this one. He can hit the glass and shut down Robin Lopez, who randomly gets these run-killing offensive rebounds. And, you know, he can hit his shots a little bit since he'll be more of a focal point without Oladipo. I think Miles Turner should be the X factor in this one for the Pacers.
Yeah, if I remember, too, the contrast between the first two Bulls games was the first one, the Pacers just clearly out-rebounded them. And the second one, they got out-rebounded. Maybe not out-rebounded at the end of the day. They lost by six rebounds. That was one of your anomaly games. But they kept getting killed in the offensive glass, it felt like, all day. Robin Lopez, the first game, didn't look like he was trying. And then finally, the second game, he turned it on. The offensive rebounds wise of 11 for Chicago and 7 for the Pacers in the last game. So Turner's going to be the X factor. If he can, the first game, he dominated Lopez. In the last game, he really just didn't as much.
Well, and if you'll remember in the last game, in the third quarter, they kept trying to claw back, and they'd get it to like 8, and then they'd get a stop, and then Robin Lopez would get an offensive rebound. And it just kept happening and happening, and it felt like he was dominating the glass, even though he only finished with like 7 rebounds, because they were all such massive rebounds, and that's something they need to prevent in this game.
Yeah, something the Pacers just do a terrible job of is once a team gets an offensive rebound, their defense is so out of set that that open threes for guys. They just kind of, yeah, the guys jog back to 3-point, get a toss, and they get an open three. It's kind of that broken down defense. So I think my expected for the Pacers, I wanted to say Turner. I think it's got to be Thad Young.
I agree. Because that's my second choice.
Because without Vic, you got to have some kind of closer, and it's not Stevenson. He proved it's not Stevenson. And I think Thad Young's the only guy on the team I think can get his own shot, really. I mean, you can put the ball in his hand at the 3-point line. He could kind of drive in and float it in. I do remember last season he did hit a game winner against the Wizards. So,
yeah,
you know, he's that offhanded too. He's that with the opposite hand he shoots with. But he's the one guy I think on the team can actually get his own shot if he really kind of buckles into it and they give him the opportunity, because he's got a really good touch around the rim. And if they spread it out, he's got the opportunity to, you know, to try to drive ahead a float or something like that. But I think they have to all make sure it's not that close at the end. They got to have a 5-point lead in the final minute, because I think if anything, if they're down one or up one, they're gonna be struggling to find that last basket.
Yeah, another thing about that is if he's balling on offense, that means Mirotić is working his butt off on D and won't be scorching on the other end.
That's what worries me most, is because we saw with Tobias Harris where Young just fell asleep on kind of that stretchy four, and Mirotić would just kill him.
Yeah, Mirotić is red hot in this one. I'm doing my X factor now. Tim, because if he's the type of guy Thad stinks against, is that guy he can't, you know, bully with in the post, and he could fall asleep off ball, and it'd be so killer for the team if he did that.
Yeah, Mirotić has been. Yeah, I mean, it's either Mirotić or it's going to be Chris Dunn. It's one that's going to kill him. Yeah, they might both kill him.
For sure. Dunn worries me because he's the opposite type of player as Collison. So, you know, one of them is going to win that matchup. Let's hope it's Collison.
Also, Dunn is much bigger than Collison, and that's going to cause him fits. I mean, is 6'4", Collison's 6 feet. I mean, it's going to cause fits. And I wonder if we see more Corey Joseph at the end of the game again, right? The crunch time lineup against the Mavs was Stevenson, Joseph, Bogdanovich, Turner, and Young.
Well, no, it was odd because at one point they took Thad out for Bojan. So it was Corey, Darren Collison, Lance, Thad, and Turner on their last offensive possession.
Yeah.
It was very weird because they had both point guards in. They were looking for the three.
This is the type of game where Corey Joseph is going to have to play more minutes.
I hope so.
Darren Collison. But I think, like you said, if they can figure out a stat Mirotić, they can probably win this game. Because in their two losses, I'm looking at his points right now. So in their two losses, he had 9 points in Boston, and he had only 15 against Cleveland. Other times, he's put in like 24, 29, 22. So you behold him a little bit below 20, you have a shot at winning. And that's kind of been the difference in most of these games for the Bulls. And then Dunn. I don't know, Dunn's probably going to end up still with, I imagine, between 5 and 8 assists, and I think they still have to box out Lopez if they really want to win this. Can't lose the offensive rebounding battle, for sure.
Yeah, that killed them last time. I agree with all that.
Yeah, they don't have anybody to bring them back, so let's hope they can at least keep the game within range with some lead, because that Bull, they didn't really do it in the Mavs game. They sort of had a minute where they jumped out, and then they sort of fell behind, and they really couldn't get themselves back in it.
Yeah, I need them to right the ship, too, after two losses in a row.
Yeah, losing 3 games in a row – it would not their worst stretch of the season because they had a 4-game winning streak, but it would be pretty bad, especially because their next matchup is against a much better team in the Minnesota Timberwolves. You have their numbers up?
Yeah, but we skipped score predictions, but we'll do it at the end, I guess.
I've been so bad on those all year.
We all have.
I don't know. People even want to hear our score predictions anymore. I feel like we're so bad at it. It doesn't matter. Like we picked them both. I picked them both to win earlier in the week, and that was terrible.
Well, I think everyone would have thought they would have won at least one of them earlier this
week.
We'll
do all score predictions at the end. We'll do it all at the end. Then we'll figure out our plus minus for the week.
Okay. The Timberwolves are 21st in pace, so they're a little slower, but they are 5th in offense, surprisingly higher than I thought, and 25th in defense, surprisingly lower than I thought they would be.
Yeah, they're not a great defensive team, and they play their starters way, way too many minutes. People, you probably heard it.
Way too many minutes.
By now, but there's been complaints that in blowout games that Tibbs is playing guys like 45 minutes. I'm going to pull up the average minutes of the players. So Butler's averaging 37 and a half. 36, though. I'd be sorry. I just do it. And Town 35 and Teague 34. I mean, that's a lot of contrast.
And Teague just went down. Teague just got an injury to his grade one MCL sprain, I believe, and hit one of his knees. He will not be playing in this game, and they're playing right now. I don't have the score up against the Bucks, and Tyus Jones was the starter. So that's something to look out for, too, is former Pacer Jeff Teague not playing, but now the backup point guard is former Pacer Aaron Brooks.
Okay, so that's – there's some last time the Pacers played Minnesota, they blew him out at the gym. They went 2 minutes later. It was sort of one of those games. It was – so Turner didn't play.
That was Collison's best game of the year.
Well, he had 30 points against Memphis, so maybe not. But yeah.
He's like 16 assists, didn't he, in that game?
15 or 16 assists. I'm blanking on the exact number. But it was a Pacers just – they went into Minnesota, and they just ran him off the court, it looked like. Jimmy Butler did not play in that game, though. He did have the flu or some kind of illness, I think, at the time. But it was early in the season, too, so that also helped. But that was one of – it was one of the signature games so far for the Pacers this year, I would say, because it sort of was that turning point where they won that one, and people thought, oh, this team might be serious. So they had lost back-to-back. They won that game, and then they went on some tear. They won 4 of 5, and that's when we started to realize the team might be good.
Yeah, they hung 130 on them, and that was huge because I thought they were going to get killed in that game. So that does give me hope in this game because, you know, especially with Teague out, they have a weakness in their backup point guard, and Butler's really their only defensive stopper. So if Oladipo plays, they have a chance in this one.
Again, it's if Oladipo plays. If Oladipo doesn't play, it's going to be a struggle because they're going to have the three best players on the court. But Oladipo plays, he might have the best player, but not the second best player on the court, depending on where you rank right now. But so Minnesota's won 10 of their last – 8 of their last 10. Part of that has been Jimmy Butler, who over the last 10 games is averaging 26.6, and Towns is putting up 22. The teams have sort of settled in. They've sort of settled into where – Butler and Towns are the 1-2, and Wiggins is sort of a 3. He's averaging only like 15 points over the last 10 games. They've sort of kind of figured out the dynamic a little bit better. Before, they were trying to get even shots for everybody, but now it's like you just got to let Towns and Butler dictate the offense because they're the two best players. So that's been they definitely turned a corner in their season as well. So another touch matchup for the Pacers.
Yeah, it is going to be tough, and you know Towns is the kryptonite for every Pacers big, basically. He just can stretch the floor on the offensive end, that is, just because he can stretch the floor so well and he can score in the post and he's a really good screener and he's mobile. He's just a really good player.
He scored 28 in the last game. They played them last game. He scored 28.
Yeah, he's averaging 20 points and 12 rebounds on the season. Like he's a beast and he's going to be tough to stop in this one.
Yeah, and they don't really have a Jimmy Butler stopper that they used to have. You know, Paul George used to be the Butler stopper, or at least a guy who could guard Butler one-on-one most of the game. They don't have that anymore, so. This team can throw a lot at you, but also their guys play a ton of minutes, and that just worries me. What happened with Teague? I feel like having anybody any night, right? I mean,
yeah,
it's I don't understand it why they're playing this many minutes. I don't think they play back to back, so
they have 2 days off.
2 days off, so that's not good for the Pacers. I wonder if they're just coming straight to Indiana from Milwaukee. So that'd be they'll go back home because Minnesota's not very far.
No, they'll go home.
But yeah, who do you have for your X factor in this game? We want to say Victor Oladipo if he plays, so
obviously
he's like the guaranteed one. We might have the same X factor. Who's your X factor?
Well, I don't know if we do. I think picking on Tyus Jones is really important in this game if he's going to be the starter, which it sounds like he's going to be, and it's going to be important to make the backup look like a backup because if Tyus Jones looks like a competent starter, I don't think the Pacers have a dang chance in this one.
Yeah, I think that's the way they beat him. I think Butler might become. I mean, I'd be interested to see, but I imagine Butler becomes some of the main ball handler.
Yeah, I bet a little bit. I wish I was watching right now so I could confirm that, but I don't have any.
But I, if you're out, if you're gonna watch the game, I guarantee that Butler bring up the ball at least a third of to 40% of the time, if not more.
Well, right now the Bucks are up 95-93 with 2 minutes to go.
Ooh, that's a tight one. We'll probably keep going through the game on this podcast, but I do like that X-factor. That's because if they could stop Tyus Jones to the point of attack, they can kind of screw up the offense and maybe slow them down. My X-factor was we didn't see it the first time that people are itching for this, the battle of the youngsters, Towns versus Miles Turner, and I think Turner's
gone. Oh, Turner was out. I forgot.
So he didn't play, so that was a big deal. You know, they only get to play twice a year, so when it's one game, they are the same draft class. Am I correct?
Yeah,
111. So they're the same draft the class.
Third season, yes.
They're Towns is not really compared to Turner or Turner's because Towns is better than stat wise, and Turner has better stats. But they're sort of that same mold of player on the same draft class of the stretch five. I think I don't know if he can. I mean, Towns is not a great defender, so maybe he can kind of make some moves. But I think when a player goes against a good player in his own draft class, who he sees as a kind of a peer, they tend to show up a little better, especially at home. I think it could be a nice game for Turner.
Yeah, it's funny that Draymond Green, you know, has all the names memorized of everyone drafted above him. And, you know, I think Turner will have that chip on his shoulder in this one. Bucks just scored. I think Turner's going to have a chip on his shoulder in this one. He'll be a good candidate. I think they'll try to run a lot of offense through him in the post because Towns has been so bad on defense, and I hope they try that strategy.
They did that with Sabonis when they played him.
They did.
They ran a lot.
It worked really well. Yeah.
Yeah, so – yeah, I think Turner's the X factor. Hope he has, you know, if he has a good game, they probably can win. Because if he can go toe to toe with Towns, first of all, it'd be good for his ego, which is always good for a young player. But also, it might be good for the team, you know, especially if they don't win against the Bulls. They need, you know, losing four games going into 2018 is a bad sort of flips this whole narrative. Oh, we're having a great year to kind of like, oh crap.
Oh crap. Yeah, I hope they can pull out one of these two games. Who's your butcher? Is it Jimmy?
Yeah, I want to say it's Jimmy Butler just because he has been so dominant over the past 10 games or so. I'm looking at his game. He had a really good, right? He had a really good Christmas
double overtime
day.
Double game against the Nuggets. He was unbelievable.
Where he had 37 against Portland. So, he's finally hit his sort of stride. Like he'd been kind of trying to figure stuff out in the offense earlier and hadn't playing, not playing bad because he's still, you know, he's an all-NBA player and one of the best defensive guards in the league, but he finally has kind of found his fit with this team, and that's just scary because he's playing with a much better team than he played in Chicago, and he put up 23 last year in Chicago, and he's playing with better floor spacers a little bit this year, or at least players that he has to respect more in defense and Wiggins and Towns. I mean, he's going to get better looks. It means he's getting, you know, it's scary because he's, you know, he's always kind of, I guess people thought of him as kind of like him and Paul George is kind of the same kind of player, maybe even below him a little bit, but Butler's as good, if not better than Paul George sometimes.
Yeah, they're really similar players, and you know Butler, like you just said, has been so dangerous recently, and then guarded by whoever the heck's going to guard him in this game. You know that could be a tough matchup for sure. He's an obvious pick for Butcher, him and yeah. Towns basically.
Who do you have for your Butcher? I mean Towns.
Yeah, it's if it's not Butler, it's Towns, right? You know, a guy who averages that many rebounds and can score that well is a Pacers kryptonite in the post.
So I imagine Bojan's going to guard Butler if Oladipo plays. If not, it's going to be Stevenson.
Yes, I agree.
So that means Wiggins is going to have one of the two of them on him. I wonder if Vic will guard Butler. I wonder if they'll finally start playing him against, if he plays against the best defender, best offensive player. Because they've been kind of hiding him on guys, letting him kind of play like, he kind of runs around and makes steals and sort of like, he's kind of like a utility player or a help defender a lot of times. But I wonder if they'll maybe switch that up, especially with the way they've been struggling on defense and early in the games.
Yeah, that would... That would make sense. It really depends on who plays.
Yeah, that's sad thing is right now we don't know. And that's, you know, matters for everything is, you know, Vic's the best player on this team. So when he doesn't play, things tend not to go well. I think that they can beat the Bulls. So you want to do some scores?
Yeah, I think I'll do both games in a row. You know, I think without Oladipo, it's going to be tough against the Bulls, but I think they're going to find a way. I think that they were horrible for 3.5 quarters and they still found a way to beat him the first time. So I think they can pull that one out, but it'll be a tight, lower-scoring one, like 94-90 or something. And I think they're going to lose barely to the Timberwolves if Oladipo doesn't play, and I think they're going to win barely against the Timberwolves if he does play. But because I don't know, I can't predict that score.
Oh, it's a cop-out. You're such a cop-out. But I agree with you on the Bulls.
105-104 Timberwolves, hedge my bet.
Oh my God, you should just call for the tie. I agree with you on the Bulls. I was thinking like a 98-94 in my head, so I had the same score as you. Because I think you're right. It's going to be not a super high scoring game because they can't put up the numbers without Vic. They usually put up, but the Bulls are not some offensive juggernaut still. I mean, they're playing well, but they're still not that like high flying team. I think though, if they could figure out how to get the pace going, they could possibly run the Bulls out of the gym. But I think most likely it's like a 90. I'm going to go 2-1, 98-92 win against the Bulls, and then I think no matter what, they're going to lose to Minnesota. I'm kind of down.
Just don't know.
I think no matter what, they lose to Minnesota. But I'm going to go with a 3-point loss to Minnesota, 108-105.
Wow, we have the same difference. Okay.
We do? No, I'm minus 9.
No, you're plus 6, minus
4.
Oh, you're right, you're right.
I'm plus 3.
Yeah, I'm also plus 3.
Oh.
That's fine.
Okay, well, we'll be earlier in the week stuff. Were we anywhere close to each other on those?
I have no idea. I can't remember.
Yeah, this Cole Christian thing has been so bad because they turned a corner. So at one point when they looked like they were good, early in the season, we thought, oh, they turned a corner, so they're going to win these games. They lost 4 in a row. Then we thought they were bad again, so we started against them. Then they won again a bunch of games, and now they're back to losing. It's hard to do.
Hopefully they get back to winning.
Yeah, let's hope they can beat the Bulls. They're 19-16 right now. So I was looking at the standings. They are tied for sixth with the Wizards, and the Bulls the Pistons are 19-15 right now. The Wizards are having some weird locker room issues, so that could tank them, I think. They're right in the thick of it, and they need to not lose a bunch of games because they're not too far off in ninth place because that's the next 17-17. So they need to, they need to win easy games. The Mavs were a bad team they should have beat, so they got to make it up somewhere, hopefully against a really good team.
Yeah, they're going to have to beat one of these teams for me to be confident going into next year. Trade deadlines sooner than you think.
Yep, and the past week has been a sign of who they are. They might be sellers, not buyers. At the 4 seed, 5 range, there were maybe buyers to make a move to try to win a playoff series, but I don't think they are anymore right now.
Yeah, let's not cross that bridge until we have to.
Yes, but positive news, Poyt's on the roster. Robinson is going to come back eventually. Positives, this team, they've hit a slump. They didn't have the best player last game. That's why they lost. So, it's fine. Things are going to look fine. They'll go in the year hopefully 20-17 at the worst, and they'll be fine, and they'll win 20 games before New Year's, which would be something like some people thought they'd win 20 games total, so it's all positive. People are playing well. They'll be fine. They'll turn this around, and they'll be fine. They'll be fine. Anything to promote?
I got nothing. Center Friday's out today. I don't know what it'll be about yet, so you'll see before I know.
All right. Thanks to Indiana Sports Coverage for teaming up with us. You can check out Tony at 8.9 seconds, MBA math anymore.
Everywhere. Just say the internet.
The internet. Check out Tony on the internet. Twitter. He really wants you to go follow him on Twitter at TNBA. You can follow me at FreedomAdam5 and check me out on Indy Cornrows. That's been it for today's Locked On Pacers podcast. We'll be back with you after the new year. Have a great rest of your day.